విష్ణునా అమానినా మనదేన కీర్తనీయ సదాహరి. హరే నామ హరే నామ హరే నామ కేవలం కలో నాస్కేవ 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 గతిరన్యథా. మై నేమ్ ఇస్ నరంతర దాస్. Srila Prabhupada accepted me as his disciple in a letter on April 16, 1974. I'm very proud to be accepted by him as his disciple. And tonight, since the temple president who made the announcements mentioned that this is the month of Damodar, then it is fitting that we understand Damodar. So you see over here this diorama. And so my talk tonight is going to be based on what that scene is telling us. So we have chanted the song, and the lady in the diorama, that is Krishna's mother. Her name is Yashoda, one who gives fame. So she was mentioned in the song, Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. So Krishna is known as the son of Yashoda. And this particular Leela, everyone say Damodar. So Krishna has hundreds and thousands and millions of names, but this name Damodar is very special. Now, there are so many different ways I can explain this Leela. So tonight, because I've spoken on this hundreds of times in my life, tonight I want to view it in terms of how Krishna's aunt sees it. Krishna has an aunt. Her name is Kunti. Kunti is the mother of Arjuna and the other Pandavas. So after the battle of Kurukshetra, those of you who got Bhagavad Gita, where are you? Those who got the gift. So this Bhagavad Gita was spoken in India 5,000 years ago. It was actually a historical event. The book, the conversation, was spoken in a place in India known as Kurukshetra 5,000 years ago. You can still go in India. How many people have been to Kurukshetra? I have not gone. But some of you have gone to Kuru, so you know it's still there. All right. So you see this picture here. Krishna is speaking to Arjuna on the chariot. So that's the setting of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna instructing Arjuna. After the battle of Kurukshetra, after the 18-day war was over, Arjuna and his brother Yudhishthira is crowned king of the world. So Krishna's business is finished. Actually, it was Krishna who set up the chessboard known as the Battle of Kurukshetra. Just like, anybody here play chess? That's all right. You don't have to be. Even Krishna played chess, so it's okay. But Krishna set up the chessboard known as the Battle of Kurukshetra between the Pandavas and the Kauravas. So after the chess game was over, Krishna decided, my business is done, let me go back home. As Krishna is getting on his chariot to return home, because Krishna has only 16,108 wives, so he has some business to do, right? Just like all of us husbands, right? If we're away for some time, the text message comes, where are you? Get yourself home. What have you been doing? So Krishna has to get home. As he's about to get on his chariot, Kunti, Krishna's aunt, the mother of Arjuna, stops him and offers a stream of prayers out of love and affection. Because unlike Yashoda, let's go back to Yashoda. Here, you all know who is Yashoda, right? Krishna's mother. All right. Yashoda does not know that Krishna is God. She's an illusion, a spiritual illusion. She doesn't know Krishna is God, but Kunti does. Krishna's aunt, she knows that Krishna is God. And in her prayers, She addresses him by so many different names, Adhoksaja. Everyone say Adhoksaja. And many other names signifying she understands who Krishna really is. Yashoda does not know. So one of those prayers of Kunti, as Krishna is getting on the chariot, here's one of them. And this will give us some insight to this Damodar Leela. Are you ready? Everyone say, Damodar ki jai. You get three rings. Very good. Let me chant some Sanskrit. Oh, first of all, everyone raise your hand. High in the air. Please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Bolo. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. All right, you can relax now. No more calisthenics for today. Here's Kunti's prayer from Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam picks up where Bhagavad Gita leaves off. So when you're done with that book, Omkar, show her who you are. That's Omkar. What's your name? Lauren. When you're finished with this book, hook up with Omkar. He'll give you the next, but it's 18 books. All right. So you already know all these things. Please forgive my ignorance. But I have to use somebody as a vehicle for preaching. You're my muse for tonight. Is that all right? All right. Thank you. So after Bhagavad Gita is... Oh, and that reminds me. In December, we always do here at this temple our annual Bhagavad Gita Yajna. And I get to do that yajna. I get the service of chanting the entire Bhagavad Gita. So I invite all of you to attend that Bhagavad Gita. I think it's December 12th. Is that correct? It starts at 12 noon and it goes till 4 o'clock. And trust me, if you participate by the end, you will feel that you are liberated. Right, Mrs. Vyas? You do it every year? She told me we should do it every day, right? Because she's a Bhagavad Gita fanatic. She loves Bhagavad Gita. So that's December 12th. We'll do it a few doors down. There'll be a nice pandal. We'll be outdoors. And after each verse, we'll throw grains into the fire and we'll all say, Swaha. See, are you getting practice already? Very good. So that's December 12th. And I've been doing it now. I can't keep track. But after that, I feel like I'm reborn again of the spirit. I feel like I'm rejuvenated. So you will too if you participate. All right, let's get back to Damodar. So here is the verse of Kunti. Gopyada de twayi kritagasi dhamatavad. Yate dashashru kalyanjana sambramaksham vaktram niya vayabhavanaya stitasya samang vimohayati bir apiyad viveti. Oh, this is good. Please repeat. My dear Krishna, Yashoda took up a rope. So do you all see the rope in Yashoda's hands? It's hard to see from here. But can someone confirm, Omkar, is there a rope in her hands? There's a rope. All right. Yashoda took up a rope to bind you. Please repeat. Yashoda took up a rope to bind you. When you committed an offense, and your perturbed eyes overflooded with tears, which washed the mascara from your eyes, and you were afraid, though fear personified is afraid of you. This sight is bewildering to me. So, you can see, if you look carefully, Kunti, she says, I'm bewildered because Kunti knows who is Krishna. She understands fully Krishna's position as God. Whereas Yashoda, she doesn't know that Krishna is God. All she knows, here is my naughty son. Now, this verse, this statement, prayer by Kunti, has deep significance. First of all, using a rope to tie up God. Elsewhere we find one of God's name, Ananta, everyone say. Ananta. Means He's unlimited. How can you tie up the unlimited? He's Adhokshaja, everyone say. Adhokshaja. He is beyond the range of your senses. He's beyond that. Here is Yashoda trying to tie up Krishna with ropes. So what happened? Let me give you the scene. So now we have to tune in to Transcendental TV. Everyone get your remote controls. I'm going to take you back 5,000 years. We're back 5,000 years. So you Indian people, you know what is Diwali, right? So it was Diwali day 5,000 years ago in Vrindavan. Now previously in Krishna, like sometimes in TV,
previously,
right? They do that thing at the beginning of the show. So previously, Krishna and his elder brother Balaram have been very naughty. They have been going to the neighbors' houses, stealing butter and yogurt. And sometimes they pinch the other babies in the neighborhood and make them cry. Krishna and Balaram are doing this. And sometimes if Krishna and Balaram don't like the butter and yogurt that they're stealing in somebody's house, they pass stool and urine in the people's house. This is a big problem. So the neighboring ladies came to Yashoda and they were saying, you know, you got to do something with your Krishna because he's doing this and he's doing this and he's doing this. They gave the whole rap sheet on Krishna. Now, actually, the ladies didn't mind. This was just an excuse to come to Yashoda, complain, but actually they wanted to come see Krishna. That's how Vrindavan works. Things aren't what they seem to be. Because what is the mood of Vrindavan? The mood of Vrindavan is everyone loves Krishna, not Raymond. Everyone loves Krishna. That's Vrindavan. Maybe in Hollyweird they love Raymond. But in Vrindavan, everyone loves Krishna. Now, let's see a show of hands. Who here loves Krishna? Raise your hand. Guy. Excellent, excellent. So, after all this, on Diwali day, Yashoda is thinking, why is my Krishna going to others' houses for butter and yogurt? Maybe he doesn't like what he's getting from me at home. So Yashoda said, I know what to do. Yashoda had been given by her husband, Nanda, because Nanda is the king of the cowherds in Vrindavan. So she was given very, very special cows. After all, she's the queen, right? You give your wife the best, don't you, men? You give your wife the best? You should. Right, ladies? The husband should give you the best. Am I right? Yes. Come on, man. Snap out of it. So, Nanda had given Yashoda special cows. What was so special? The milk from those cows had a special flavor in that milk. So on this day, Diwali day, Yashoda said, I'm going to take the milk from these special cows and not my servants. I'm going to personally make butter and yogurt myself. Because she's the queen, she has so many servants, but not today. Today, she wants to do it herself. So she's churning the butter. Now, Krishna at this time, maybe 4 or 5 years old, I don't know exactly, but he's a young boy. So Yashoda is churning, and anyone from India knows, there's no machines. You're doing it by hand. You probably have done it in younger days, right? Yeah. You know, India. So, Yashoda is churning the butter. Krishna comes and indicates towards his mother he wants to drink the milk from her breast. Okay, Yashoda, being a very loving mother, takes Krishna on her lap. Just like I saw one lady, I came out, she was also breastfeeding her child. Very nice, natural, God's way. So Yashoda is feeding Krishna. She's looking at her son, and she's thinking, how beautiful my... Every mother thinks her son is beautiful, right, ladies? Right? Just imagine if your son was actually the most beautiful. Isn't that who Krishna is? Don't we say that Krishna is the most beautiful? So Yashoda, when she looks, naturally it's her son, she thinks he's beautiful, but actually he is the most beautiful. So she's breastfeeding and she's looking at this beautiful face of Krishna. All of a sudden, the milk pan on the oven, on the stove, is boiling over. Now, anyone who's worked in the kitchen, if the milk boils over, that's a big mess. Cleaning that stove after the milk, because I've done it. And in my house, I get kitchen detail. So I know what it's like to clean that stove. So she has to take care of the overflowing, boiling over milk. Krishna is not finished feeding, but she has to do it, right? So she puts Krishna down to take care of the milk boiling over. Well, Krishna doesn't like this. Krishna is thinking, what? Hey, I'm not finished here. So Krishna becomes angry and he bites his lip and he takes a stone, right? And he throws it at the butter pot and breaks it. Naughty, naughty, naughty. God can be naughty. That's another thing Krishna is showing us. He's God, but you know what? I can be just as naughty as anybody else. Because he's playing a drama. When we use this word Krishna Leela, it means a drama. Krishna comes and acts, that's the word, acts like an ordinary human child who doesn't get what they want. They throw a tantrum. So Krishna throws the tantrum. He breaks the pot. And then he steps in the butter and yogurt and runs all over the house, causing a big mess. So, after Yashoda takes care of the milk, she comes back to the scene of the crime and says, oh, that Krishna, what has he done now? Look what the mess he has done. But Yashoda is a great, she's like Sherlock Holmes. She goes, ah, Krishna's footprints, because he stepped in the butter and yogurt. So she takes out her, not, she didn't have a magnifying glass, but she can see Krishna's footprints, right? Because Krishna's feet have distinctive marks. That's why I always say, if anyone says they're God, ask them to show you their feet. If they don't have the markings on the bottom of the feet, you know they're an imposter. Anyone who says this person is God, this person is God, I would always say, can I see your feet, please? You don't have the markings of God. Sorry. You may be somebody, but you're not God. Because God has a very special souls, and there are markings. So Yashoda could see the different markings. She traces the steps, and what does she see? Krishna has climbed upon a big wooden thing that's used to grind spices. And Krishna, what's he doing? He's taking the butter and yogurt and giving it to the monkeys. Anyone who's been in Vrindavan, there's lots of monkeys, and they're very intelligent. They'll steal your watch. They'll steal your bead bag. They'll steal your wallet. Even Prabhupada one time had to deal with a monkey. Yes, you got to watch those monkeys. They are very crafty. So Krishna is taking the butter and yogurt and very liberally giving it to the monkeys. At the same time, he's looking like this because he's expecting his mother to come at any moment. So he's doing his nonsense. All of a sudden he sees Yashoda. And Yashoda has a stick in her hand. Uh-oh. Stick in the hand is not nice, is it? What does stick in the hand mean? Mm-mm, no stick. So Krishna goes, so he starts to run, because he doesn't want to get hit with the stick of Yashoda. But Yashoda's face shows that she's angry. Krishna, now you've done it. Now you're going to get the stick. So Krishna is running around the house. Yashoda, she's a full-bodied woman, full breasts, full hips. She can't run as fast as Krishna. Krishna is just like, so Krishna is like, and Yashoda's trying to catch up. Her hair, the flowers in her hair are full, but finally she captures him. So this is the scene here. She has captured Krishna. Now what did Kunti say? Your perturbed eyes overflooded with tears. Boy, what Krishna always, in my opinion, should get the Academy Award for Best Actor. He's playing the parts perfectly. So Yashoda has captured him, and he's crying. Ooh, Mama is going to beat you. Right? But what does Kunti say? Fear personified is afraid of you. In other words, you name the biggest fear that you could think of, that is afraid of Krishna. But Krishna is afraid of his mother, who doesn't know that he is God. Because he's playing this role. Now someone would say, why is Krishna playing this role? Because he loves it. He's enjoying. That's another aspect of this word, lila. He's enjoying this. He's forgetting his position as God and acting as if he's an ordinary child, and he is enjoying the crying, and he's enjoying seeing Yashoda get angry at him. He's actually enjoying it. Just like if you play any drama, like you go to the movies, the actor and the actress is doing so many things, but it's an act. At the end of the day, they go home and they're just regular whoever they are. But in the movie, you get caught, ooh, that actor was so good. Whether it's a demon, Al Pacino, whoever, they play that role so good, you just love it. But if you meet them on the street, it's like, hey, he's just another ordinary guy just like me. But in that role, ooh. So Krishna is playing the role. So the person who is actually that fear personified is afraid of, he's afraid of Yashoda. So you have to ask yourself, why is Yashoda getting to play the role of Krishna's mother? And that's another verse I could have spoken on. That Yashoda's position is so unique. Shukadeva Goswami, the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam, says, how great is Yashoda? Lakshmi cannot get what she got. Right? Lakshmi cannot get what she got. Brahma, what she got. Brahma, Shiva, nope. So special. Why? Well, one reason is she gets to punish Krishna. So, Yashoda had the stick. But when she saw that Krishna was, at least he was playing, and as far as Yashoda knows, he's really afraid. So Yashoda, being a good mommy, says, uh-oh, if I'm too harsh, then he may not grow up properly. He may get some psychological problem. Right? So I don't know if Yashoda's in favor of capital punishment. I don't know. I'm not making a political statement. Don't get me wrong. But the idea is, Yashoda is thinking, nah, if I use the stick, it may have a contradictory effect. She throws the stick away, but she says, but I have to do something because the child is too wild. He's creating too much disturbance. So she says, okay, I'll tie him up. This way he can't do any nonsense. Well, she calls her servant, bring me some rope. So she tries to tie up Krishna, but the rope is two fingers too short. Bring me more rope. Come on, come on. Cello, bring me more. They add more rope. What's going on here? It's still two fingers too short. Bring more rope. Come on, come on. Jeldy, bring me more rope. No matter how much rope they bring, at the end, it's still two fingers too short. So they bring more rope. Meanwhile, the neighbors are coming and they're all laughing. Because no matter how much rope they brought, she tries to tie him up, two fingers too short. Actually, the two missing fingers of each additional rope would have been enough to tie up Krishna. But Krishna is playing a joke here. Remember, Yashoda does not know that Krishna is God. All she knows, could you imagine your son doing this? He'd be, what's going on here? So all Yashoda knows, my son, something's going on. Finally, after so many attempts, Yashoda just gives up. She's completely frustrated. No matter how much rope, I can't tie up my child. So Krishna was showing Yashoda and us, you cannot bind me unless I agree. He's still God. Even though he's playing the role of an ordinary human being, he's still independent. He's still supreme, and he's still God. And he's saying, unless I agree, you cannot bind me. Now, in the song that they're going to sing at 6:30, it's called Damodarashtakam. There's two words. In the whole song, these two words are one of the most important. Everyone say, Bhakti Badham. Okay. In that song, the author is saying, Krishna cannot be tied by any ordinary rope. He can only be bound up by bhakti. So can you buy bhakti at the store? Nope. Can I go on Google and get bhakti? You could in a way. But normally, you can't go to Ralph's or you can't go to Amazon.com. Please give me one case of bhakti. No. Bhakti means your heart, your love, your surrender. That is the only thing that can bind Krishna. Nothing else. You may think, oh, I can capture Krishna because I'm very smart. Oh, I can capture Krishna because I'm so powerful. I'm so famous. I'm Donald Trump. I can capture God. No, nothing material can attract or capture or tie up Krishna. Only bhakti, your loving, surrendered, devotional attitude, which is what we are espousing and learning and preaching. Bhakti yoga. That is what this Krishna consciousness movement is doing. Teaching people how to develop their dormant, natural bhakti. You all have it. It's not something extraneous. You have it. But where is it? Is it in my pocket? No. It's in your heart. It's already there. It's part and parcel of who you are. Problema. I forgot. I have neglected it. Instead of developing bhakti, what have I developed? Lust. Greed. Anger. That's what I've developed instead of bhakti. But it's there. It's natural. I always say, to be a devotee of Krishna is the most natural thing for anyone. Whether you're Indian, or American, Eskimonian, African, doesn't matter. Everyone has love of Krishna. Even, who should I give as an example today? I always like to give, even the devil himself, if you believe in the devil, But if you take the most sinister, evil person, even he or she has dormant bhakti in their heart. It's just that they've forgotten. It's just that they've been covered over. Today, I gave a class at another temple, and somebody was asking me a question, and the lady was asking me, why should I chant Krishna's name? So I explained to her that what chanting does is that it cleanses the heart. It cleanses your mind. It cleanses desire. And when it's fully cleansed, you will naturally, unlimitedly, unobstructedly love Krishna. Now, everyone look at Krishna on the altar. Does Krishna look like somebody difficult to love? Right? I could understand if he was an old man with a beard and you were being told to love him. It might be a little problem. But just look how nice Krishna. Doesn't he just look like somebody you could love? Right? Yes. This is one of the things I love about Krishna consciousness. I used to get, before becoming a devotee back in the 70s, I used to get these little books, and they would have a picture of God sitting on a throne with no face. It would be just a blank. It would be a human-like form, but the face was like white. No features. I go, what is this? I don't know, worship some Casper the Friendly Ghost? But then when Prabhupada described God as a young boy who plays a flute, we're musicians, right? To think that God is a musician. God rocks, man. Yeah. That's my kind of God. And he dances. Forget Michael Jackson. He don't know how to dance. You ask the gopis how Krishna dances. These dancers don't know how to dance. Krishna is even one of his name, Natabara, right? Natabara means the best of dancers. Krishna can dance like anything. So Krishna is all attractive. That's what his name means. Prabhupada said, Krishna's name is most appropriate because it means all attractive. We love somebody because they're attractive. Either somebody is very good looking, that's attractive. If somebody is very famous, that's attractive. If some movie star or politician was to walk into the room, you would stop looking at me. You would say, oh, look, he's here. Because that's a kind of opulence. Or if somebody's very wealthy or intelligent or renounced, these are attractive. Krishna has all the opulences unlimitedly at the same time. No offense. I don't have any opulences except the big mouth. But some of you are very good looking, some of you talented, some of you intelligent. But can any of you honestly say, I have all of the opulences? Anybody going to be that proud and say, I have them all? Even if you did, would you say that you have them unlimitedly? No one's that crazy. But Krishna can say that. Krishna can say, oh, by the way, and he does say that in the Bhagavad Gita, nonchalantly. Krishna says, well, by the way, I am God, and I have all the opulences, unlimitedly. It's not a problem. I can't help it. That's Krishna. Many times you'll be reading Bhagavad Gita, and Krishna will talk about himself in the third person. He's so cool. He's talking to Arjuna. Arjuna, you should surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in your heart. Well, hello, that's you, Krishna. But Krishna refers to himself in the third person. Krishna's the coolest. He's ice cold. So let's go back to Yashoda Damodar. Are you liking it so far? All right. I'm not going to take too much more of your time. Because who wants to eat prasad? Yeah, I know. When I joined, that was the only reason I came to the temple. The person would give a lecture, I'd be like this. Prasadam Primo! So, the ropes. In Sanskrit, there's the word guna. The word guna means ropes, or it also means the modes of material nature. You and I, we're all bound up by the ropes of material nature. Either we're in goodness, tied up, yes, even tied up by goodness, or passion, or ignorance. But most of us, it's a combination. We have some goodness, some passion, some iggy. All of us, we have different degrees, right? And to the degree that we have these modes of nature, it's as if we're bound up. We're not free. When I was younger, in my teenage days, that was the biggest thing. I want to be free. That was my whole goal. But Prabhupada was pointing out, which is why I joined this movement, Prabhupada was saying, you're not free. As long as you're tied up by the modes of nature, you're not free. Maya will let you think you are free, but until you become free from the modes of nature, you're not free. And then Krishna says, you want to be free? You want to be free at last? Then you have to surrender to me, Krishna says. No other way. You want to be free? You surrender. Hey, that's a rap song. You want to be free? Surrender to me. I hope there's a rapper out there puts it on his next rap song. You want to be free? Surrender to me. But they never do. So Krishna says, if you can engage in bhakti, loving service, and you never quit, then you're free. Who wants to be free out there? I want to be free. I want to be free from these ropes. Then you have to engage in bhakti. You have to love Krishna. I asked Srila Prabhupada one question. Prabhupada, what pleases you the most? And Prabhupada says, when you love Krishna. So I've never forgotten that. So that's the instruction I got from Srila Prabhupada. If I want to please him, I have to love Krishna. And you love Krishna by doing this bhakti. And you're doing it right now. You're hearing about Krishna. Or you're chanting Krishna. You're remembering Krishna. Or you're working for Krishna. Or eating for Krishna. That's the hardest, isn't it? Eating for Krishna is the hard, isn't it the hardest? That's another joke. So, engage your senses in Krishna's service. That's how you become free and free at last. Everybody wants to be free. But the process, how to be free. So these ropes, you showed us ropes. Bhakti badham. Krishna cannot be tied by any ropes. So, when Krishna saw that Yashoda was totally flustered, then he put on his mystic power and he allowed himself to be tied up to the grinding mortar, which he was standing on when he was giving out the butter and yogurt to the monkeys. So now Yashoda's done her job. All right, she's tied up Krishna. Now she can go and do her housework. But do you think Krishna is finished? Krishna is thinking like this now. Yashoda thinks she has tied me up, that I'm not going to do any more nonsense. Yashoda looks out into the courtyard and sees these two big trees. And Krishna says, oh yeah, those trees. Narada, my great devotee, wants me to liberate the two demigod sons who are residing in that tree. So Krishna says, my mother thinks she has tied me up and I can't do any nonsense. I'm going to do more nonsense. So Krishna is playing the part of a little child. So Krishna starts crawling. And as he's crawling, he's pulling the big wooden grinding mortar. And the grinding mortar gets stuck between the two trees. And Krishna walks and keeps crawling. And the grinding mortar knocks down the two trees, like as if a hurricane had come. And when the trees knock down, these two demigod sons, Nalakuvara and Manigriva, come out, because they had been cursed by Narada to be those trees. They had to stay there as trees for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years until Krishna would deliver them. So when these two demigod sons of Kuvera came out, they offered prayers to Krishna. And Krishna told these two sons, now this is why I say Krishna is cool. Krishna did not say, oh, you are fortunate because you have seen me. No, Krishna's cool. Krishna said, oh, you are very fortunate because you got to see my great devotee Narada Muni, who is just like the sun. Krishna gave the credit to Narada that he had blessed them, not that he had, that Krishna had delivered. So that's very instructive. So when you come in contact with a great sun-like personality like Srila Prabhupada, that is the greatest blessing. And Prabhupada and his movement is trying to bless everyone with this Hare Krishna consciousness movement. Let's all raise our hands. Who wants a benediction? Then raise your hands and repeat after me. Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Krishna
Krishna,
Krishna,
Krishna.
Hare, Hare,
Hare
Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Rama, Rama,
Rama, Rama,
Rama. Hare, Hare.
Hare Hare.
So in this month of Damodar, the prayer that we're going to sing at 6:30, we do it in the morning and the evening for the whole month. If you can do that, very good. If you can't, as the temple president was saying, try to do something extra this month for Krishna. Do something extra, because you will get a great turn on your investment. I'm sure all of you have 401ks and investment, but you also have your spiritual bank account. And don't worry, Obama can't touch it. Your spiritual bank account, nobody can touch. So, your spiritual account, Prabhupada told us like this, everyone has their own spiritual account with their name on it. And any devotional service you do, don't worry, the accountants aren't like Anderson, they don't cheat. Krishna's accountants, they keep accurate records. Oh, this person came to the temple and gave a donation, very good, write it down in his account. Oh, this person came and rang the bell, very good. Even a child who doesn't know what they're doing, if the child claps in the temple, oh, put that down in the count, come on. Every little thing is included in your account, and the interest accrues, and it doesn't go down. It's just accruing. So this month, you get extra, you know, the dividend yield is higher. So do it. Chant, read, preach, worship, pray, just do more bhakti. Is that all right? All right, now let's see if my preaching was effective. Let's see how we chant. Maestro, with your instrument.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Everybody! All right, now I want to see who's better. So I want the ladies to chant, and then the men. Ready, ladies? One, two, three.
Amen. Envelope, please. And the winner in the category of best chanter, it's a tie. Very good. Let's all do it together one more time. Hare Krishna. Everyone, clap your hands. Come on. One more time. Yashoda Damodara Ki. All right. Class is dismissed. Go take prasadam. If you can, come back 6:30. We will sing the Damodarastakam prayers. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga Hari Hari Bol. Anyone who's interested, you can take one of my cards. If you have a question or you need counseling, or like Suvas said, you want me to come to your home, just email me, take one of my cards, be glad to come and pay you a visit. Hari Bol. Hari Bol. You're very welcome. Hare Krishna.